Well, good morning, everyone. And I trust you all had a nice Christmas and different ways to celebrate it, but with crowds or on your own or whatever. So, welcome to this, the last Sunday of the year. What better way to mark the end of a year, bring it to a climax, than by worshipping God together? You're invited to have a cup of tea after the service in the small hall. I'd just like to thank everybody who helped in any way with the Christmas services. There was a lot of services, and a lot of people did things up front, and some did in behind the scenes, but thanks to everybody who made it very special. Could I thank you over the year for your donations to the food bank and for your donations to the Box for Malawi. And thanks to those who organise these things and who help at the food bank and post off the boxes. I commend to you the flower list for 2020. It's on the front notice board. And a personal thanks for all the cards that you gave Patricia and myself. Much appreciated. I'd just like to say happy birthday to Mary Gibson and to Janet Cowan, who have both had significant birthdays this week. These are all the intimations. So, let's bring the year to a rousing end, the climax, as we praise and thank God for all his blessings to us over the past 12 months. Let's sing hymn 183, Good Christian Men and Women Rejoice. We're now at the end of 2019, but we're also at the end of a whole decade. So let's, in our prayer today, reflect upon the decade, and in particular this year. Let us pray. Let's think first in terms of world news. Over the past decade, we think of the election of President Trump and the impact that that has made. We think about global warming getting worse. The UK had its record temperature of 38 degrees this year. The 10 hottest years have occurred since 2002, five of the hottest years within this decade. There's been more flooding, More heat waves, more storms. A climate emergency, say scientists, and Extinction Rebellion. Over this year and over this decade, there's been growing inequality and poverty. There have been wars in many places. We think of Yemen and Syria. There's a new Cold War. There's a trade war with China and America. The past years have seen the rise in the internet and the social media, both for good and for ill. We think of this year and the past decade having many terrorist attacks, the killing of Fusilier Rigby, Joe Cox, the MP, PC Keith, in Westminster Bridge attack. 22 killed in the Manchester Arena attack. The van driving into people in London Bridge, or driving into Muslim worshippers at Finsbury Mosque, or the London Bridge attack recently, killing Jack Merritt and Saskia Jones. This has been the austerity decade, starting with the Tory Liberal Democrat coalition government. The reaction to the financial crash. We had the Scottish referendum on independence, then the Brexit referendum, and all the political turbulence which followed from that, and the recent general election just before Christmas. We think of the world's problem with plastic and air pollution. It's reckoned 64,000 people die every year in Britain thanks to pollution. There's prematurely aging British people's lungs by 4 years because of pollution. There's been a decline in biodiversity. 1 million species are in danger of declining to extinction. The global population has grown by nearly 1 billion in the past decade, posing many other problems for the environment, food supplies, services, and the climate. Last year saw the first designer baby, a genetically modified fetus. We had the Grenfell Tower tragedy, the Hong Kong protests, refugees around the world, people trafficking. More positively, there were giant strides in eliminating malaria, TB, polio, HIV, Ebola. Life expectancy is up generally around the world. There's improved health care and a rise in living standards. Every day, 200,000 people are lifted up beyond the $2 a day poverty line. Every day, more and more people are gaining access to electricity and clean water. And the hole in the ozone layer is healing. Stem cell research is progressing, giving hope of cures for many illnesses. Let's think now and thank God in our own personal review of 2019 and the past decade. And let's think about this past year and past decade in terms of the congregation's life. We give thanks for the ongoing pastoral work by elders in their districts. We give thanks for all the special Sunday services, Christmas, Easter, Harvest, Remembrance, all of them. We give thanks for donations we were able to give to Christian Aid, the Bible Society, Poppy Appeal, the Mosquito Nets for Malawi, to the Food Bank, the Malawi Boxes, and the Prayer Shawls. We give thanks for the Holy Half Hour radio broadcasts, for ecumenical services with other churches, the Holy Week services, the adult Christian education, the midweek worship, the prayer time together. We give thanks for Andrew Taylor's ministry. We give thanks for new elders like John Hunter and Susan Gill. And we give thanks for the long service of Jim Forsyth, 50 years as an elder. And we give thanks for our members who have passed away. We think of Anne Sinclair, Annie Stevenson, Alistair Fisher, Marion Barr, Jean McCausland, Peggy Gilfillan, Morag Conway, and Karen Stalker. We also mourn, but also celebrate, the lives of Mary Edgar, Mark Tenney, Jean Harwood, and John Murdoch. We give you thanks for all their lives and examples and inspiration. So, Lord, we thank you for 2019 and for this decade since 2010. And we thank you that through all the joys and sorrows, ups and downs, triumphs and tragedies, there has been constantly your presence, your peace, and your power and strength beyond our own. And as we look into the mists of a coming year, we don't know what it's going to hold, but we know that you hold us, and we go forward together in confidence with you. Amen. I'd also like to take this opportunity as the last Sunday of the year to thank various people whom I might have thanked any Sunday, but it seems appropriate on the last Sunday to thank them for what's done all year long. And all of the following go into making a church service any given Sunday. I'm thinking of our organists, David Pearson and Jim Grant. David plays at funerals as well. Jim Grant also plays at Arran View Care Home and South Beach Care Home. We're very grateful to Betty Keane and the choir for leading the worship musically. They also come faithfully to Arran View and South Beach Home. I'd like to thank the tea team. I'd like to thank the offering collectors and counters, and the treasurer, Kathleen McElreevy, the gift aid promoter, Harry, and the free will offering, Barbara Deans. I'd like to thank Roseanne McLean as session clerk, and the elders, and the team of welcomers at the door. We give thanks for the flowers every week. Agnes Wilkie arranges them faithfully every week. We're grateful to Irene Crozier, Margaret McCluckie, and the team of distributors who take them out to people each week. I'd like to thank the office helpers, the church cleaners, the garden helpers, and thank Gordon Fraser for all his work with the property. We're grateful for the recordings of these services that go out to the housebound and anybody who would like to hear them. So we're thankful to Arlene Hunter, Harry McElreevy for recording, to Neil Gibson for duplicating, and to those who distribute them. I'd like to thank Harry for the PowerPoint all year. And when Harry's unable, we have Gordon Fraser and Audrey Scott. We have our Sunday school teachers, Alison Mackay and Helen McCluckie, supported by Shona Howie and Kirsty Kane. All of that goes into any one Sunday. And we're very grateful to all of you who do all these things. We're grateful to all of you who do all the things that you all do. Without your contribution of time, talents, and money, nothing would happen. On a wider picture, I'd just like to thank Betty McFall and the Guild, the McElreevies and the Midweek Worshippers, Susan Gill and the Prayer Shawl Group, Audrey Scott for doing Adult Christian Education Hospitality. Audrey also does the magazine. I'd like to thank Roseanne, Harry and Kathleen for the prayer group. On the websites, Gordon Fraser, the board and session, and Kathleen as our presbytery elder. I've maybe missed somebody out, in which case I apologise, but basically this church is the people who make up the church, and every little bit that each of us contributes to the bigger kitty, and God does his miracles in and through us. There's just one I've left out deliberately, so I'd like it to come down now. I'd like to thank Rebecca. We are singling out Rebecca more than the others, because we want to give her a wee gift. This is from the board and the session, and really from the whole congregation and from me. An appreciation of all that you do quietly behind the scenes. You sit up at the back there, but we know that you do a lot as the secretary, you do a lot as the church officer, you're faithful at any funerals as well as Sundays, and you also do a lot just as Rebecca, just by you hanging about, folk buzz around you, and you're like the wee hub of the wheel. To what?
I'm going to change my name, Biddy Poe.
Change it to what, though?
I don't know.
Well, you better think before you change it, yeah. But we do appreciate that. I mean, what makes the church, as opposed to anywhere else, is those individual faces you can point to, and just being yourself as well as what you do is appreciated for you and for everybody. So thanks again for all that you've done.
And thank you. Okay.
Now, we don't have the Sunday school, and I want to do something just slightly different. I'd like to read you a poem, and it will lead on to the rest of the service, what we're doing. This is a famous poem by T.S. Eliot called The Journey of the Magi. That's the wise men or the kings or whatever. It's an old wise man looking back at many years ago when he went to Bethlehem. A cold coming we had of it, just the worst time of the year for a journey, and such a long journey. The ways deep, the weather sharp, the very dead of winter, and the camels galled, sore-footed, refractory, lying down in the melting snow. There were times we regretted the summer palaces and slopes, the terraces, the silken girls bringing sherbet. Then the camel men cursing and grumbling, running away, wanting their liquor and woman, and the night fires going out, and the lack of shelters, and the cities hostile, and the towns unfriendly, the villages dirty and charging high prices. A hard time we had of it. At the end, we preferred to travel all night, sleeping in snatches, with the voices singing in our ears saying that this was all folly. Then at dawn we came down a temperate valley, wet, below the snow line, smelling of vegetation, with a running stream and a water mill beating the darkness, and three trees on the low sky, and an old white horse galloped away in the meadow. Then we came to a tavern with vine leaves over the lintel, six hands at an open door dicing for pieces of silver, and feet kicking the empty wineskins. And there was no information, and so we continued and arrived at evening, not a moment too soon. Finding the place, it was, you may say, satisfactory. All this was a long time ago, I remember. And I would do it again, but set down, this, were we led all that way for birth or death? There was a birth, certainly. We had evidence and no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but had thought that they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. We returned to our palaces, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation, with an alien people clutching their gods. I should be glad of another such death. They were changed people, never the same again. When they went back home, they tried to tell people what had happened, but they didn't really understand because they weren't there. It hadn't happened to them. And they felt a bit out of sorts and out of place with their own people now. It had been a hard journey, but one of the hardest things was coming home and finding that nobody understands. Soldiers find that when they've been in battlefields. I've travelled the world and come home and people didn't understand what I'd gone through when I'd travelled to other countries. Education takes you out of where you are and makes you a changed person. But if the other people are not educated, they don't understand what it means. Becoming a Christian changes you for the rest of your life, but a non-Christian doesn't understand that change. There's always a shadow on a birth of a death. It's one of the life's paradoxes. But more of that in a moment. Let's sing a hymn about that first Christmas. 182, Angels from the Realms of Glory. 182. Now let's turn to the Word of God, reading first from Luke chapter 2 at verse 8. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I'm here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town your Savior was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God. "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw him, they told them what the angel had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back singing praises to God for all that they had heard and seen. It had been just as the angel had told them. And then turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, at verse 1. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset. And so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah, for from you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel.'" So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were. What joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. Amen, and thanks be to God. Now let's sing together hymn 200, "As with Gladness Men of Old."
Thank you.
Christmas, so what? Very soon we'll be taking the baby Jesus out of his crib and putting him back in the drawer, where he remains for the rest of the year. And the occasional time you pull the drawer out and get a surprise. Very soon we'll be taking down the decorations and packing them away again. Very soon we'll be taking the unwanted Christmas gifts to the charity shop. Very soon we'll be thinking about Easter eggs. Or before that, we'll be resolving to go to the gym for the new year, to lose some of the weight that we put on over the festive season. Very soon we'll be resolving to do Christmas. No, already we might be resolving to do Christmas differently next year. But we know deep down we won't. We'll just do it all over again, the same each year. And sometimes it's a bit of an anticlimax. Anyway, think about the first Christmas. The people taking part then. The shepherds and the wise men we've just been reading about. They worshipped him, and then they went on their way rejoicing. And they were changed people. And they were thanking God for the experience. A hard coming we had of it, said the wise man there in the poem. But the very last line is, although birth and death seemed intertwined, we could fair go another birth, death like that again. Simeon and Anna in the temple said that now they'd seen the baby, now they'd met the Christ, the Messiah, they could die in peace. Mary and Joseph, it was only starting for them, all their responsibilities for looking after the baby for years to come. How do you feel about Christmas at this point? Are you full of the same joy that they had? The same worshipping that they had? The same changed life that they had? Are you full of praising God today, rejoicing, and would you say you've been changed significantly by it? When we meet Jesus, or when Jesus meets us, we relate and we love and we exchange, and it's romantic. We gain life, the fullest quality of life, eternal life, but starting now, eternal life. He puts joy into us and we have laughter. He gives us hope. He gives us peace. He gives us 101 blessings that come from having him. We give him ourselves, our time, our talents, our money, ourselves, our beings. And there's a wedding. And the bride and the groom, Jesus and his church, are in love. And it's no time for fasting, it's a time for feasting. It's not about sighing, it's about singing. There's a transformation in lives that have met Jesus. Many people could see the baby but not realize who the baby was. But when they realized who the baby was, the penny drops, the life changes. When the wise men went back and the shepherds went back, the thing that hit them hardest was the fact that nothing had changed. They had changed, but their work was the same. They're still looking after sheep. They're still going back to the far country and taking up their responsibilities as wise men. They faced the same problems, the same day-to-day lifestyle. But the fact that they were changed, changed a lot of that for them. Enthusiasm is infectious. Joy is catching. Love is all-pervading. Faith spreads. So when they go back, everything was the same, but they were changed. But because they were changed, they started to change the world around them. changed lives change the world. Or if it doesn't work so well, the fact the world's much the same, it depresses the person that was enthused till they lose their enthusiasm. But if it works right, Jesus puts a life within us that radiates outwards, and other people can hardly resist it. And then at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. We have to go back from Christmas with all its decorations and festivities to normal life in January. But we can change normal life in January. Jesus working in us and through us is a radical difference in the world. So the shepherds and the wise men are rejoicing and worshipping and going back to their circumstance. Mary was remembering these things and thinking deeply about them and all her responsibilities. But they all were inspired to taking up the mantle and getting stuck in to whatever they had to do. And that's the point for us today. If we are changed, and we are going to change Saltcoats in 2020, change our families, change our community, change the world, let's think just for a moment of what changes there were in the wise men and the shepherds and would be in us that would make the big difference this coming year. A few things quickly. They went away knowing Jesus is with us. He's not stuck in a crib in a Bethlehem stable in a nativity play. He's alive and kicking with us everywhere. And this Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Wherever we go, Jesus, our God, is with us to empower us, to enable us, to inspire us, to help us, to strengthen us, to make us more than conquerors. This Christ, this Messiah, this baby of Bethlehem, this King of Kings, is alive and kicking. Whether the wise men find him, whether the shepherds come or don't come, whether Herod tries to kill him or not. We live our lives in the daily awareness that in the end, the Almighty wins. And we're backing him, and he's using us, and we're on the winning side. God's will prevails, whatever the adversities. The wise men got there, even though they got lost. Somehow, providentially, God provided the prophecies that were quoted to them at Herod's palace. He provided the star to get them there. He opened their eyes when they saw what they were looking at. Nothing could stop it. Even Herod and his soldiers, trying to be very thorough in killing all the children, they didn't succeed. Bethlehem was indifferent. It's not indifferent now. It knows the world spotlight's on them this Christmas. Jesus, when he is with us, makes all the difference. And it's all under God's providence. He provides the star, the angels, the Virgin Mother, the prophecies, the dreams, the stable, the safety in Egypt. God doesn't always give us skies always blue, silver spoons, stress-free lives. But he does see us through them all. It was a hard birth for Jesus. He was instantly a refugee in Egypt. He was instantly the object of persecution by Herod. There was great apathy and indifference to his birth by most. His parents had been forced to go on a donkey for 80 miles while he was still in the womb. It's not an easy life for Jesus. All through his life, and ends up with crucifixion. But he resurrects. And he resurrected not only at Easter, he resurrected every other little downer. When you know that God is with you, that God wins, that it's in his control, why are we so worried? Why are we so afraid? I am with you always, even to the close of the age. Paul says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Bring on the next weakness. In him I'm more than conqueror, he says. And so we rejoice. Not a flippant rejoice, but a deep joy that nothing can quench. Like the light shines and the darkness tries to overcome it, but the darkness never wins. With Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm. Faith is hindsight in advance. Faith is knowing you're going to win before you start the competition. Gethsemane's and Golgotha's lose a lot of their sting when you know there's resurrection after them. We're not promised an easy life. We're just promised a victorious life. And the shepherds and the wise men also realized that we've got good news here to tell. We've now just been made missionaries. Why did we get to go to the stable and see what we saw? Because God wanted somebody to tell the others. That's us. For all those out there who don't know the good news, we who know the good news have a duty to speak to them. We become the angels telling the humble shepherds, the Saviour of the world has been born. We don't all have to be preachers with our mouths. We can preach far more eloquently sometimes by our lives, words and actions together. There's a bit of both needed. I'm sure the shepherds who went, when they went back to the other shepherds who didn't go, if a third person had come along, they'd have spotted, what's up with those shepherds? Why are they different from the other ones? People just see right away, something's got into them. And the same with the wise men. And they would have found themselves having to ask, what's happened to you? And if they didn't ask, they would be being told, I must tell you what happened to me a couple of days ago. I went to this stable. If we've met Jesus and he's met us, we cannot help but be missionary. The role of the church is to be a witness to the living, risen Christ, to show the difference that he makes to ordinary folk in an ordinary street. We are the returning shepherds and wise men into our communities. Amen, and thanks be to God for these thoughts. The offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming to Bethlehem. We thank you for coming to Saltcoats. We thank you for coming into our hearts. We thank you for letting us into your heart. We thank you for giving us a place at your table at communion, for giving us a place at the eternal banquet in heaven. We thank you that here we belong with you and together. Help us to go out from here in your name and your service to spread the good news and extend your kingdom. Amen. Let's sing hymn 169, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this last Sunday of 2019, we thank you for all the days which are past. We ask you for courage to meet the present moment, and we pray that you will give us hope and vision which we need to step into a new year, 2020. Give us 2020 vision. Heavenly Father, on this last Sunday of the year, we remember and give you thanks with great joy for every happy moment, for every new thing that we learned, for every thrilling experience, for every new friend we made, for every old friendship which developed. We also remember with gratitude and joy how you brought us safely through some difficult and dangerous times. How you held our hand. how you walked with us through the valley, how you calmed our storms, how you opened our blind eyes to see things differently. We think of how you led us to mountaintop experiences and how you lifted our spirits as if on eagle's wings, and how you accompanied us in the sadder times. We thank you for how you picked us up each time that we fell flat on our face, and how you guided us when we were totally bamboozled, and how you gave us strength beyond our own strength and put a new song in our hearts. Heavenly Father, hear us now as we pray for others on this last Sunday of the year. We pray for your blessing on all who are ill. We think especially of Jim Forsyth and Peter Curran, Ruth Cowan and Harry Duff, Margaret Curlett. We pray for those who are bereaved. We think especially of the family and friends of Morag Conway, and now the family and friends of Karen Stalker. We pray especially for Anne, her mum. We pray for the wider world. We pray for Hong Kong, with 300 arrests of protesters over Christmas. 7,000 have been arrested over the year. We think of the Philippines, where there was a typhoon on Christmas Day, which killed 28 people at least, and thousands had to flee from their homes. We think of the plane crash in Kazakhstan this week, killing 12, 54 in hospital. It's amazing so many did survive. We pray for Australia, facing record temperatures over 42 degrees. At the maximum, they've reached 46 degrees. It's a national emergency. We pray for America impeaching their president. We pray for Montenegro, where the Orthodox Church is being persecuted. For Somalia, where a car bomb yesterday wounded 90 people. Al-Shabaab terrorists have been causing trouble for years there. And we think of ISIS regrouping in Iraq. And this year, in 2019, we reflect on the 50th anniversary of the moonwalk with Neil Armstrong. It's the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall, the 70th anniversary of NATO. As a church, as a presbytery, everyone is thinking about Saltcoats North Parish Church, and myself as minister. We pray for all your people throughout the world, in their joys and in their sorrows. Just work in and through us to spread the gospel. Amen. Right, our closing hymn for the year gives us one foot into the next year, because it's one more step. You'll find it on your sheets.
World I talk more and more about the world I learn. come with me, and it's from the old I travel to the new. Keep me travelling along with you. You and I travel through the bad and good. Keep me travelling the way I should, where I see no way to go. You'll be telling me the way I know. It's from the old I travel to the new. Keep me traveling along with you.
Now may God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit give you the peace which the angels sang about, the joy which the shepherds went home with, and the love which Mary and Joseph experienced. All the blessings that come from having him this Christmas and into this new year and always. Amen.